Let's give Him thanks today. Lord Jesus, right now, we lift up the name of Jesus. We lift up the name of Jesus. Lord, it is by that shed blood. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is found in the truth of the Word of God. It is because You are God, and we just ask You right now to enlighten us to Your way, to Your way. And help us, Lord, I just pray right now that You will open our eyes to bring a friend to the feet of Jesus. Lord, You just show us right now in our minds and our hearts and the minds of our hearts of what it means to bring a friend to Jesus, that You're for real. In the name of Christ Jesus, the One who shed His blood, the One who stepped out of an empty tomb, and the One who's coming again, we give a prayer of thanks. Amen? Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Boy, I tell you, man, the Spirit's sweet in here, isn't it? Yeah. Just sweet in here. Yeah. It's okay. Sometimes we need to stop and we need to say, you know what? God does not have to show up like this. Did you realize that? God does not have to show up like this. God chooses to show up like this. And one of the things I have found, the Scripture is true. Yes. And you know why the presence of God is here? What does the Scripture say? God inhabits the praises of His people. And we got some of His people in here today. So we're really on this mission, okay? We got some of His people in this place today. And you know what? We want to invite some more. Okay? And so, man, I'm excited. I hope you're excited. I feel a different... last three Sundays, I felt a different spirit in here. It's the Spirit of the God, but it's moving in a different way. And it's really wanting to release the church. Somebody leaned over and they asked me, they said, man, why is it so free in here? I said, because the church is not subject to the lender. Amen. See, here's what I'm trying to tell you. When you line up with what the Bible says, when you believe what the Bible says, when you practice what the Bible says, the floodgates of God's understanding will open in your life. You will never learn the Bible by attending seminary. You will learn about the Bible. There is a vast difference of knowing about the Bible and what it says and knowing who wrote the Bible, who marked it in blood, who made it an eternal promise. It's a vast difference. How many of y'all know the writer? You know the author. You know the sculpture. You know the Scripture. You know the One who's coming again. Now, do you know Him enough to invite somebody else to be with Him? I want you to go with me to Mark 2. I don't want us to lose an attitude. Somebody other than yourself is important. How many of y'all are that far along? Somebody else might be important. Amen? Mama Sue, it's good to have you back. You've been here a lot of years. You and Jack have been through this. Mama Sue, we had a great time this week just visiting. I told her, I walked in, I said, Sue, you look like an NFL player. She had 1,400 braces on, and she's going to get better. And our faith is in who, Sue? The Jesus that puts us back together. Now, how many of y'all realize Jesus will put you back together? Jesus will put you back together. It's been a joy the past 2 weeks. For some reason, I've had a lot of people in the community ask me what's going on. Here's the only thing that was sad. I wish my colleagues had asked me what was going on when 505 people were baptized in this church. That was big news. That was news only Jesus could do. But you see, you and I tend to be more excited about what we can see than what God can do. And so I don't want us to lose this attitude. Jesus makes the unbelievable believable. How many of y'all are that far along? Listen, if you attend Hillview, you've been here for a long time. Watch this. Let's roll it back 20 years ago. 20 years ago, and I might have said something like this just because, you know what? This is what keeps me going. Jesus makes the unbelievable believable. Timmy Young, would anybody over at Warren East High School, home of the Raiderettes, when the Raiderettes came marching in, and there you were sitting in high school Would anybody said, there's Timmy Young. He'll be sitting in church dedicated to the Lord. He'll go to youth camp and cook and preach and teach so others might know Jesus. Some of y'all went to one of these because Billy Lowe was sitting right beside you. And they just said, what? No way. But Jesus makes the what? Unbelievable what? Believable. Believable. Go with me to Mark chapter 2 and do not lose this attitude. Do not lose this attitude. People being brought to the feet of Jesus is the mission of the church. People being brought to the feet of Jesus is the mission of the church. Now, Hillview, God has given us some physical things. Okay, now listen, don't ever get caught up on them. Okay, I'm going to give a praise and a warning at the same time. If we ever worship this building, nobody can be released. Guess what's going to happen in that building? The walls are going to get dirty. The carpet's going to get torn up. And that's because it is a ministry facility. Little feet, you know what? I want to come in and say, Mark, we got to replace the carpet on the whole first floor. We've had 5,000 preschoolers go through there in 365 days. I'll buy new carpet for that. Amen. Don't ever get caught up in the building. Shane, in just, you know, a couple years, I want you and Andrew and Chase, I want you to come to me and say, man, I tell you what, Rev, you needed to get a bigger vision. You built too small. We have 3,000 young people involved on Wednesday night, and we got to put them here and at the mall and up at Western to get them taken care of. If we, now, let's see, y'all are giving me that look again. Like, there he goes. That's impossible. What did I just tell you in the name of Jesus? Jesus makes the unbelievable what? And if you don't believe that now here at Hillview, you're never going to get it. When people heard about our debt being paid off, guess what they said? Unbelievable. I said, no, it's not. I said, it's not unbelievable because he is believable. You see, we get excited about money. We ought to get excited about souls being delivered to the kingdom of God. Because here's the opportunity we have. You and I have the opportunity to participate with the Holy Spirit to release folk, people, God's creation that is paralyzed by sin. The only move that will relieve sin in the world is Jesus Christ. You can go to the counselor. You can go to your recovery groups. You can go spend money after therapist, after therapist, after therapist. But if you don't have an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, you will split the gates of hell wide open. And I don't care who argues against that. They're a liar from hell. That's the absolute truth. And it comes time in this place, in this moment of history, there's some people that better start telling the truth. Jesus is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. He is the answer to all of us who are paralyzed. Not some of us that are paralyzed. What? All of us. Go with me to Mark 2. Are you there? Hillview, I want to remind you of an attitude. You do whatever it takes to get people to Jesus. How many of y'all are ready to do whatever it takes to get people to Jesus? Jesus has located himself in the Gospel of Mark chapter 2 in a very interesting location. He has gone to Capernaum, Nathan, okay? Now, in Capernaum, it's an interesting place. It's a city built on lava rock. It has hot springs flowing under it that run into the Sea of Galilee. There in those hot springs, much like Hot Springs, Arkansas, the people of this moment of history believed that if you could get your sick body into the hot springs, you would be what? Healed. Now, we believe that about Hot Springs, Arkansas. Some of you still get in the hot tub thinking it's going to make you feel better. And it does make you feel better for 15 minutes. And then you get out of the hot tub and realize you're old. And thank God Jesus has got you. Amen. But yeah, it was a place of healing. Now, check this out. One of the problems that we have as human beings, when it comes to healing, we go everywhere else before we let Jesus come in. Now check the dynamic here in Capernaum. Jesus has come in to the place they believe to be healing. Jesus came into the place they believe to be healing. So here's what we have. We have healing entering the center of healing. The one who can really heal coming to the place where they think all the healing is. The houses are built very close together. Many people gather, and the story takes place. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, a place of healing, the people heard that he had come home. They'd heard that he'd come to the region. He'd come home. Now, here's how important this is. Our job is to make sure that people now know that Jesus will come home into them. How many understand? We carry the message, Jesus is real. Come what? Come home. Y'all remember the old hymn? Come home. Come home. Yeah, we're coming what? How many of y'all glad to know we go to the house one day? How many of y'all realize today we're on our way to the house? This is a stop on the way to the house. Ultimately, glory is our destiny. Now you say, oh, that's just nice preacher talk. No, Mr. Woosley, ultimately, heaven is our destiny. Is that not exciting? So in a real way, here's what we do while we're here on earth in the kingdom of God. We as God's people, display his glory on earth so others might realize he's for real. There's the mission of the church. Hillview, we've had that mission since day one. We're not changing that mission. You say, what are you preaching this for on July? I want to remind us as we sit here in the summertime and we get ready for a great big fall. I hate to be disappointing to you. Where's Eleanor? Eleanor, we're having school again this year. We got the best superintendent possible to counsel school for a year, and even he won't do it. Okay, so we're stuck. We're going back. Fall's going to energize. We're going to have the ability to encounter thousands of people. Now, Hillview, I want to give you a number. We need to start thinking thousands. Okay? I think we've thought hundreds for a couple of decades, and that's not what God wants us to think anymore. He wants us to think what? Thousands. There's 85,000 people here that are not connected, we know of, to a church. Okay? There's probably more than that not connected to the kingdom of God. Do you all realize that there is too many people that go to church that are lost? There's a lot of people that sit in church. They hear the truth of the gospel, but they said, I'm going to go to church because it's a nice place. There's some nice people there. They cook good meals. And I really don't know Jesus. I'm going to do it my way. I have my own thoughts, my own opinions. Well, guess what? That's a good way to stay paralyzed. That's a good way to stay locked up. Now, I know when I preach to you and I preach with us and I preach into America, we get all disappointed because we really think God wants to hear what we got to say. He doesn't. He wants us to follow what he has said. Now, we got some boys that hit the scene. Jesus is in Capernaum. He's gone in. The Son of God has walked in. Can anybody this morning give praise that God will walk in to the midst of our human situations? Jesus walked in. He didn't fly in. He didn't appear in. He walked in with the power of healing. Now, what's everybody going to be doing this week? How many of y'all are going to walk into somewhere? Go and give me a little head nod or something. Y'all aren't sleepy, you. Spirit, huh? How many of y'all going to walk into somewhere? Or Sue, roll into somewhere this week, okay? How many of y'all going to arrive? Now, who arrives with you? Well, let me tell you what arrives with you. A testimony of a real God. I want y'all to write that down. Every day I take a breath, I am a testimony to a living God. Freddie Hampton, you know what you are? You're not just some old country boy from down there in Butler County. You're a testimony to a what? Living God. Chuck, you're not just some ex, you know, hot shot high school basketball star from Muhlenberg County. You're a walking testimony to the risen what? Amen. Lord. Tim Marley, you're not just superintendent of Warren County Schools. That's your subtitle to the title. You're a man of God, saved by the grace of God, believing in the cross of God, under the power of the resurrection, filled with the Holy Spirit, with the possibility of working the unbelievable. You know what the world hadn't seen? That church. The world hadn't seen that church in a long time. Now, we've seen it a couple times. The first time we saw it in America, the United States of America, they called it the First Great Awakening. When the church woke up and said, the cross is the cross, the resurrection is the resurrection, we're going to cut all the folly out, we're going to preach the Word of God, we're going to preach it under the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit, and God is going to do a great work. In history, we call that the First Great Awakening. And then not too far from us, Logan County. Could God do something in Logan County? Even God can do something with Logan County. What do you think about that? Boom, sparks and fires of a second great awakening with our pioneer spirit begin to fly in the Holy Spirit. And by the way, that's what shapes our traditions in the way we worship God in the state of Kentucky. That second great awakening. Well, here's good news. Now, this is just a hunch. I mean, I don't have it right there written in, you know, second revelation, because there's not a second revelation. And if you don't know that, that shows you need to be in Bible study. Look at here. Okay, watch. It is interesting. God does have a tendency. I'm just saying he has a tendency to move in what? Threes. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. On the third day. Well, let me ask you a question. How many of y'all be willing to be a part of the sparks of the third great awakening?
Amen.
You see, I think God wants to provide. And listen, I'm not talking about a revival. I'm not talking about filling stadiums. I'm not talking about selling 4,000 million T-shirts. I'm not talking about getting on all the Christian broadcasting places and putting wigs on and going through all this religious junk we've been through. I'm talking a genuine awakening. People won't be selling books. Lives will be changed. Lives will be changed so unbelievably you won't have to write a book about it. This is what's so great. The work of God will be going on and there'll be no need for conferences because everybody will have a piece of it. And you know what Jesus did, man? He entered Capernaum. Look, there he is. Crowds are gathered. Preach Jesus. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. What moves people? The word of God. So guess what? As we regather, this is kind of our rhythm at Hillview. We regather in the fall because everybody's been out everywhere, there. It's summertime. And then we regather. Now, what are we going to do with this year's gathering? I hope there'll be so many people wanting to hear what Jesus has to say. There'll be no room left in the inn. We'll figure out how to make the room. How many of y'all found at Hillview? We'll figure out how to make some room. Watch this. It's time to look at thousands. God's given us wonderful preachers in this church. We can run multiple services in this church. We're already doing. We got five. I figured you can do 20 a week. There y'all go again. Give me that look. I'm trying to tell us something this morning. God will work and make the unbelievable what? Aren't you a part of that? I'm a part of that. Aren't you a part of that? Randall, it's unbelievable that I'm standing here preaching to you. It's unbelievable that you're listening. And together we've been saved by the grace of God and we'll never be what we were. And what we will be is yet to be known. That is unbelievable, but what a blessing. Amen? Now they get there and it's full because Jesus is there and he's preaching the word to them. Look at what Jesus preached. Young preachers in this church. I want you to hear this is the young preacher's service. 8 o'clock is where they come because they minister the rest of Sunday morning. What were they preaching, Shane? The word! Eric, what were they preaching? They weren't doing gimmicks. They were preaching the... And let me tell you what was important. Not the preacher, but the word. We got it all backwards in America. We think it's about the preacher. I've seen this. I wanted to throw something at the TV, but then I realized I got to fix the TV. I saw a preacher preaching. The only good news, he wasn't preaching the word. And as he's preaching a sermon that people might come to know Jesus, he had the price of his new book scrolling across the bottom of the screen the whole time. He said, well, you talking about another preacher. I'll call that garbage out every day. That's the problem, not the solution. Our books count for very little. His presence will release the paralyzed. So we've got caught up in marketing and left ministry. It's about ministry. Jesus is there. You know why Jesus is there? Because he loves those folks. How many of you are just there because you love people? And if you're not, I want to encourage you. Love people. Let me show you. I want to give you the attitude we ought to have. Are you willing to carry them? Are you willing to carry them? I got there. It's a crowded place. Some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man, a paralytic. carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat where the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Today I didn't want to go long, and I'm not even going to finish the rest of the story. The challenge is their faith. Yes, I know it's God. Yes, I know it's the glory of God. Yes, I know God is sovereign, better than you who espouse it. But I want to tell you, just because God is almighty does not excuse us from participation with the Spirit. In fact, God is not just sovereign. Let me tell you something else he is. I'm going to preach for just a minute here. He is incarnate in flesh. Let me tell you the good news about God. God will get into humanity. God is so committed to getting into humanity. He birthed his own son with the own flesh. And God, own son with flesh, God inhabited that flesh and made him the way and the truth and the life and the Savior and the King. God wants to be in our flesh. Isn't that good news? Hello, isn't that good news? I got one hope. God will dwell in me. That's all I got. Bugsy, I don't have second hope. I don't have second hope. I don't have anything else to tell you other than this. God loves you so much, he will inhabit you. You know what I mean by that? He will get into you. And when he does, you become the hope of his glory. I don't know about you all, but if you talk to me for just a minute. Isn't that the church that God wants us to be? The hope of his glory. Now think about this. If we hand out backpacks to kids, that's not to give a kid a backpack. That's so that they might see just a hint of his glory. When we hand out some food, that's not just about feeding people. That's so that they might see a hint of his what, Alan? Glory. When we go to another country, we're not arriving to another country so we can come back to America and say, "Oh, I've been a missionary." Well, if you've been a missionary, you have no idea what a missionary is. Because there's one thing you can't retire from, being a missionary. Here's what a missionary is. A missionary is one who does what these four men did. They carry people that are paralyzed to the feet of who? Jesus. And they'll do whatever it takes to get people there. In fact, the prayer today I want us to have is in this particular message today. And the reason I'm not going to finish the story is because, guess what? Yes, the man gets healed. Jesus does that. My challenge to us as a congregation is, what are we willing to be about with the rest of our lives? I don't know how long that is. That's why I say the rest of our what? That those who are paralyzed. Now, let me tell you what paralyzes you. Sin. How many of y'all found sin paralyzes? People won't say, "Well, sin's not bad, and I should have the right to do anything I want to do." Well, you do have the right to do anything you want to do. In fact, God loves you so much, he will give you the right to die and go to hell. How many rebels I got in here? You say, "By God," I'm telling you, "Well, I'm a rebel, I can do what I want to do." Well, guess what? How many of y'all found when you do what you want to do, you're paralyzed? You're locked up. You're not everything you can be. Here's where the freedom is. When I begin to follow what Jesus has laid out. Now, here's the good news. I believe there's a heaven. How many of y'all believe there's a heaven? I believe you're going there if you're in Jesus Christ. Now, some of you are going, "Well, Pastor Ayers, what if I don't believe in Jesus?" I want to be real clear. Now, make sure. You are going to hell. Absolutely. Have I been clear on that? So when you get down there with all the philosophical intellectuals of our present day, y'all can try to talk your way out of there. Good luck. Because here's what you don't understand. Jesus is not the Waltons. He's not Captain Kangaroo. He's not Eddie Murphy. He is the Son of God, the King of Kings, and what He says is. You know how he healed this boy right here? After they get him through the roof, you know what Jesus does? He looks up and he said, "Your faith." Well, I want to stop here because you know why Jesus said that? It's not that their faith, just faith alone, changed that man. No. It was their faith in Jesus that released the man. My faith, Alan, you don't want to live on it. My faith in Jesus, that's good to get you to heaven. And so, church, I want to challenge you. How many of y'all got enough faith that Jesus will? Jesus will. How many of y'all believe a little better than you did 3 weeks ago? Come on, be honest. I want y'all to be honest. How many of y'all, when I said, "Man, we're going to build this facility and the debt's going to be paid off," how many of y'all did one of those little patronizing things that really personally, now that I'm being very confessional, irritates me? When it's like, "Well, little Pastor Stevie, oh, isn't it great? He really believes God will do a good work. But in a few months, God will bring him to reality. And he'll have to realize that we need to drag along just like all churches do." When I came to Hillview, "Oh, that's so sweet that Stephen would go." Sweet? Hillview's never been a sweet church. What do these people do? Suck syrup for dinner or something, you know? Ain't sweet. Kingdom of God ain't sweet. Georgia, it ain't sweet. It's powerful. It's potent. Billy, it'll release you and put you into power. Their faith. "Son," Jesus said to that man, "your son, your sins are forgiven because of their faith." Hillview, I want us to get an attitude today and come to the altar with this attitude. How many of you all would believe enough for the salvation of Warren County, but you'd take a roof off a house? Here's the number one thing that can happen when God delivers a blessing. Many people get saved. That's the number one thing that could happen. But guess what could happen? Don't ever be comfortable in the blessing. Don't ever be comfortable in the blessing. Because let me tell you something, my friends, my fellow brethren and sistren. The blessing is to release those who are paralyzed in sin. It's not our glory. It's who? His. So really, here's the attitude. You want to live, you want to go to school, and you want to make a difference? Don't look at me, but see the Jesus in me. How many of y'all could live with that attitude? Some of the old pulpits that I've mounted in my life to preach the gospel, they would have a plaque. And it said on that plaque, "Sir, that we would see Jesus." Jack, I was fool enough to believe them old heads. I like the old preachers. I won't give you too much for this new bunch. They're more concerned about their hair color than they are the heart of their congregation. They're more concerned that they have family time than Jesus does his kingdom time. They write long papers on sacrifice and know little about it. In the past, they wrote short articles and lived long lives. Full lives. Sacrificial lives. Lives that said, "My life is not mine, but His." These four men, I don't know their names, but they carried their friend to the feet of Jesus. I want to challenge us today to be a church in all arenas of this ministry, to carry our friends to the feet of Jesus. But then I want us to even get past that. Not just our friends, Billy. Not Billy Lowe, not just our friends. But guess what? I want us to carry our enemies there as well. To the feet of who? Jesus. How many of y'all believe this will work? How many of y'all going to go live it out? All right, I'm going to say this one more time. Well, I'm going to say 1,000 more times, but one more time today. I presented to you a challenge over the past 5 years that every person in Hillview Heights Church at least one time in their journey of life here on earth would be in the baptistry with a friend. You don't have to baptize them, but I want you to stand there because God used you to get that person to His feet. Make sense? Now, I want you to be clear. You didn't save them. Everybody got that? Eli, you got that? You can dance, but you can't save. You see what I'm saying? I can talk, but I cannot what? Save. You can sing, but you cannot what? As a church, we can do all this ministry, but we can't do what, Andrew? I mean, you can go down there to junior high and y'all can have HR Puff and Stuff shows and everything else. Y'all can do all these crazy things, but you can't what? You can't save a seventh grader. In fact, if you've seen a seventh grader, the only person that can save a seventh grader is Jesus. You parents, if you remember a seventh grader, you can't either. You know, Lord Jesus, here they are. Here's my child at the feet of who? Jesus. Mark, you can count and you can figure and you can plot and you can strategize, but you cannot save a life. But you can carry people to the one who can. Four of them came carrying a man to a room that was full. The crowd couldn't save him, but the man in the midst of the crowd could. Jesus. They were so convinced that Jesus could do anything, they tore a hole in the roof, made a spectacle of themselves, broke society's rules, tore up a guy's house, so that a friend might be delivered. You young people, Ben Connor, you pray at Warren East High School. You hear me? You bow your head at lunch and say, "Dear God, I thank you for this food and an education." You bow your head. If anybody says anything about it, you come get your pastor. There's only one reason we go through this baloney in society. One reason. The devil told the Christians that being a wimp was being humble. Who in the world was Madame O'Hare? She went crazy and she's dead. And she stood up with a loud voice and all the Christians backed off from all the people that were bending the Constitution. If you're offended because of Jesus, let me tell you where I stand. Be offended. I'm sure there were some folk offended in this moment when dirt came flying on top of their head. I'm sure they had a Ms. Maudie Mae sitting right there in the crowd, big, you know, little old Jewish woman going, "I don't know who them boys think they are tearing that house up, but God's going to punish them." God didn't punish them. God forgave their friend, and he walked out, and God honored their faith. Y'all are going to find it so interesting that a lot of these high-toddy, religious, proper church people are going to be the ones that God dishonors. And some of the people that they've talked about all the time is the one the Lord's going to look at and say, "You got it. Because when I was hungry, you gave me some food. And when I was thirsty, you were carrying the water bottle. And when I was naked, you didn't pray for me. You brought me some drawers. And when I was in prison, you didn't write a book on the possibility of prison ministry. You walked in the cell and brought me to the feet of Jesus. And when I was a stranger, you didn't say, 'Hey, I hope somebody will welcome you.' You welcomed me even though I felt estranged." And then they'll look and say, "Jesus, when did we do this unto you?" And they say, "When you did it to the least of these, you did it unto me." Here's all I can tell you. If we keep loving people, Hillview will meet some messed up people. How many of y'all have ever met messed up people? Elizabeth married a messed up dude. He's messed up. Tina Hale married a messed up dude. Some woman will marry Sean Pugh. He's messed up too. We don't know who it is yet. We're waiting on he and Andrew. Shane, we had to wait you out, but you went way beyond your expectations with Hannah, didn't you? It's worth the wait, amen? That's what we should have named that marriage. Worth the wait wedding right here. You see, God came what? Shane, you remember when you'd walk around going, well, Lord, I wonder if I'm ever going to get married. It's all over. I'm 21. What'd God do? What'd God do, Shane? He came through. He made a way. How many of y'all realize God's making a way? Because He's already made a way. What'd He do in that roof? God used four men to make a way to the way. And he'll view, here's all I'm asking us to do, is to make a way to the way. Our young people, Chase Goff's got wild and crazy dreams. I'm loving, Shane, I'm loving how all this is being transferred in. I want y'all to continue to pray for Pastor Shane. Next Sunday, he goes to serve our country for a little over a year on active duty. Shane, I honor that. I thank you for that. As many other men and women have done in the country. Now, I don't care what you philosophically think about the war, okay? I really don't care. Because we're at war. So you can put on a pink skirt or whatever and run around and be anti-war. We're at war. And there's soldiers that have gone. And the only reason you can wear a pink skirt and run around and be anti-war is because a few decades ago, somebody else went to war so you could open your dadgum mouth. And the reason all you pacifists can be pacifists is because somebody died so you could be a pacifist. If not, we'd all be doing this today before we worshiped. You know why? Because in Germany, the Christians were silent when the devil rose to the top. The Christians sat in their seat and said, oh God, don't bother me with social concern because we're just sitting here singing just as I am. Surely a little old dude like Adolf could never rule the world. You see, because there were some Christians that forgot. They worship a God that makes the unbelievable believable. Go read World War II. You know who marched in there? Some great theologians were in that area likewise. There was counter to the evil. Bonhoeffer, Karl Barth, others that wrote intention. May not agree with all their theology, but you got to understand their theology came out of tension, out of war, out of sacrifice, out of price. They understood shed blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Jesus paid it all. Amen. And all to Him I owe. And so today, I don't know how many human lives here need to be brought to the feet of Jesus, but I'm sure it's more than one. If you've never asked Jesus into your life this morning, guess what? Today is the day of your salvation. At Hillview, we're going to carry folk. We're going to let you know this. All of us have sinned. All of us have sinned. Y'all know anybody that hadn't sinned? Me either. I don't know anybody that hadn't sinned. Now, let me rephrase the question. How many of y'all have met some people that think they haven't sinned? Oh, there you go. See, that's a whole different category. Are they not miserable or what? You know why? Here's why they're so miserable. They're trying to be who Jesus is without Jesus. Jesus will forgive you, man. Jesus loves you. So listen, if you know you've sinned, that's the first realization. I'm a sinner and I need the hope of glory. I need God's help. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I believe you died on the cross. I know you've risen from the grave. Come into who? Me. If anybody makes that statement this morning in prayer, the Holy Spirit leads you to that, you will be saved and you will walk out of this place headed to heaven. Now, if you've done that and you hadn't been baptized, can I ask you a very polite question? If you believe in Jesus, why wouldn't you do the first thing He asked you to do?
Some of you are going, well, in my perspective, I don't think baptism is important. Well, let me help you. In Jesus' perspective, it is. And you go, well, what's that water going to do? It's going to get your head wet, and it's going to make a public confession that says, I stand with Jesus Christ. And you know what else it's going to do? It's going to seal your commitment. I don't know about y'all, but this ring is just a ring right here. Y'all see this ring right here? Nancy, just to help everybody understand, what kind of ring is this one right here? It'd be a wedding ring. It's a wedding ring. Does this wedding ring have any power? Does this ring make Elizabeth not fuss at me? No, exactly right. Does this ring keep our marriage together? Elizabeth, if I don't wear my wedding band, you okay with that? Tony Scott, can you believe she treats me like this? Well, why do you want me to wear my wedding band? I made a deal December 22nd, 1984. And it wasn't just a contract. The Holy Spirit came in that deal and said, Elizabeth, I'm sorry to do this to you. But I'm going to. But hold on. And she put a ring on my finger and she said, I give you life. I give my life to you. I give all my money to you. And I give everything else to you. And in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And they put that ring down. Now, Dr. Cox, does this ring have any power? Other than this, it is a symbol of a covenant that is all-powerful. And so in case I'm out in the town and I want to look over and something looks back, I can go, seal deal. I'm under a what? Covenant. Hold on. Today, some of you are going to walk this out for the first time. You're going to say, Lord Jesus Christ, come into my life, forgive me of my sins. And the Holy Spirit's going to come into your soul and go, sealed deal. You are my child, and nobody can break our relationship. I am with you always to the end of the age. Even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil, for I am there. You know what seals that covenant? A beautiful baptism. So I want you to get that done. Amen. Y'all are already starting to sign up for God's stock baptisms. That's cool. The lake is at Summer Pool, so we'll be able to baptize on the beach. And even if it was flooded, we were just going to baptize you in massive amounts of water. I want you to begin to pray for this right now. I'd like for us to see 100 to 200 baptisms at God's stock. Now, what are you saying? First thought in your mind was what? Thousands, but guess what? Let's start the thousands by 200 at God's stock, 100, 200 at God's stock. You're saying that's what? That's impossible. We live in Kentucky. Watch this. How many of you know one sinner, one person that's paralyzed right now that hadn't given their life to Jesus Christ? Raise your hand if you know somebody that's not given their life to Jesus yet. Okay, those of you that don't have your hands up, you need to go someplace besides church at least once a week. Would you be willing to talk to that friend and carry them to the feet of Jesus? Now, note, once you get them to the feet of Jesus, look at Mark chapter 2. You're done. Because nothing happens till the precious Lord looks in the eyes of a paralyzed human being and says, Son, your sins are forgiven. Rest of the story is simply this. The religious people have a discussion, and the paralyzed man walks out. I'm on part B plan of the gospel. I pastor Hillview Heights Church for one reason. And most likely will stay here to the day I take my last breath for one reason. I've seen a lot of folk who were paralyzed
by the stench of sin after service was over, walk out in the glory of God. That's what it's all about. Let's stand together. Let's stand together. Lord, what a beautiful day. And right now we pray for the salvation of those that you're drawing. We pray for those that need to be baptized. We pray for those that just need prayers of healing. But Lord, right now I pray that you give each individual in this room their friend that needs to be carried to the feet of Jesus. Their friend. Show them. Give them a name. Point them to that person. And now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray for the courage to carry, the boldness to speak up, the faith to believe, and the reality that God will speak forgiveness in an unbridled, untamed, chaotic world. May you be Lord in all things, Jesus says you are, and may we practice with you your Lordship. In the name of Jesus, this altar is open. Hope, glory, power available on our knees. Let's worship.